Hey,
This
man.
call is being recorded.
I'm gonna check one more time with Andrina since she's not sitting here with us to see. Are you hearing me clearly, Andrina?
Yes. Yes.
I wonder why I couldn't hear her on my thing. Yeah, I really feel like I'm in, because I thought that it should be coming through the computer as well, because I had the computer on. So, Gary?
I do.
Just get away from talking about me and me making what they call self-deprecating statements, and let's go to some statements that don't deprecate, but it elevates the King Eternal, Immortal, Invisible, that dwells in the light, and no man can approach it thereunto. As we start today, we're moving into the second chapter of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, and I'm very happy to be able to move to the second chapter of the book of the Revelation, but it doesn't mean that we've exhausted the first chapter. We haven't. It's still the revelation of Jesus Christ. But today we're looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ, and now we're looking at Jesus being revealed as the one that's in the midst of the assembly that knows everything that's going on. Did you hear what I just said? I said, without any equivocation, without any stuttering, without any taking it back, he is the victorious one that has dominion, that's in the midst, dwelling in the midst of his assembly, and he knows everything that's going on. Now one day we'll talk about he'll do something about it. But today we're going to emphasize what he knows. I want you to understand that man wants to be in that position. All up and down Atlanta, there are cameras on the street. If there's cameras in your businesses, the law can go in and take and look at your cameras and see what's going on. If something happens across from a bank where there's an ATM, they can have access to that to see what happened. No doubt you're being tracked on your smartphone. Do you hear what I'm saying? I would not be surprised if in your television, a very little thing that you click with your remote and make your channel change, there may be a camera inside of that just as well. Why not? Camera, the little camera thing that's inside of my smartphone is very small. If it didn't have a little opening, if it was all black across there, I wouldn't see it. But God does not need cameras. Now, the Bible does explicitly show that he has horsemen in the book of Zechariah that go back and forth, and tell him what's going on. Not only does he have that to tell him what's going on, because he delegates. But even without the delegation, he knows. The book of Job talks about the sons of God coming to present themselves before God. Have you read it? Have you heard of it? And it said, and Satan came. Am I right? I know I am. And if we read the sweet word of God, is it sweet to you yet? Or is it just something you read to make you feel religious? It's sweet to me. And guess what, Jane? No calories. Glory to God. The Bible shows that God even had his men servants to come before him, just like he had the other sons of God that are celestial, and present themselves to him three times a year. What does that have to do with what we're doing? First of all, don't you ever forget, God is consistent. He is consistent. Young people, that's why I tell you all, don't lie to me. Especially you young men. Young men are more rowdy than girls are. It's getting where it's about equal. But you cannot get in trouble and come to me and ask me to help you and assist you when I have seen you to be a notorious liar. Because I'm going to want you to suffer what you need to suffer to get it right so that you don't continue to get to do what you do and that everything seems to be okay because somebody put their hand on you in such a way that no one can take it off but God. Somebody say, Tim, that sounds kind of harsh. Well, I've been there. I've done that. And I wasn't pleased. You never know how much therapy God has to give you to get your mind right. He can either get your mind right or he can destroy you. Now, I'm coming from Romans 2 and 5. You think the long-suffering, forbearance, and the patience of God is because God is weak? Or because God is soft? Or because sinners against an evil work is not executed speedily? And you let your heart get fully set in you to do evil? You treasure wrath against the day of wrath. Romans 2 and 5. I'm coming from 2 and 3 through 5. Your revelation of the righteous judgment of God that will judge every man according to his works. But how does he do it, Gary? How does he judge every man according to his works? How does he let them treasure up wrath against the day of wrath and judge every man? If you read Romans 2, 5 through 8, up to 9, and that he judges for everything. How does he do what he says in the 12th chapter, I believe it's Matthew and 52? How does every idle word that men speak, they have to give account? And how can we understand Romans 6, 6 through 9, that God is not mocked? Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he reap. If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, life and peace. How does he know all of these things? Well, we go back in our minds. If you want to turn to it in your Bibles, you go to Matthew chapter 28, 18 and 19. When he got up from the grave, not the same day, but he had gotten up from the grave and he was getting ready to make his departure. In the last chapter of Matthew, he tells them all power is in his hand. Said all power is in his hand. Sight is a part of power. Try losing it and see how much power you lost. Knowledge for us is potential power. But God, part of his power. All power is in his hand. He told them to go. You teach. And you tell them to observe. That means you command them to do whatever I told you. Then he makes this statement. Lo, I am with you. How long? I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. Even then he was saying, I'm going to be there. In the book of the Revelation, we see him there. He is the conquering, victorious Lord. Who knows everything that's going on, not just in his assembly, but everywhere, but primarily for his assembly. When we talk about these seven churches, it's imperative that we know these things. Let's go back. Remember, I told you all before when we were going through the book of Hebrews, that it was the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews. We're working now with the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of the Revelation. But I want you to remember a couple of things before we go to chapter 2, verse 1, so that our minds will be right, so that we don't look at the book of Revelation and, ooh, ooh, it's so different. Ooh, you know, Revelation, that's deep. All of the word of God is deep. Not Rumpelstiltskin. Not Rip Van Winkle sleeping 20 years and go to sleep when you have King George and wake up and George Washington is king, 20 years taking place, sleeping through a revolution. All of the word of God is deep. All of the word of God is powerful. When he sends his word out, it accomplishes what he wants accomplished. Now that I feel good about that, listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who in sundry time and in divers manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And I want you to understand that. When it says spoken, that is an aorist in its active. His Son is speaking. John, write what you see. John, write what you hear. From the Son, I've spoken. And I want you to understand that what I'm telling you will always go in line with what I've already told you. Bless God's everlasting name. He's appointed him heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Listen, who be in the brightness of his glory. Do you remember he had the white hair like the Ancient of Days? And the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. We're going to see that when we go through the seven churches. We're going to see him upholding all things by the word of his power. And it says, when he had by himself purged us, when he had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. We're going to see him in his victorious place of dominion. Let's roll, if we will, to the fourth chapter. We talked about the other night. It's imperative. It was the other night and the other day. Somebody say, Tim, you're repeating yourself. That's so you get it. Today, because I don't have anything else to say, this needs to stick in your mind. You ought not think about the seven churches and think about what we're covering today and not let your mind go to where we are here in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. You should never do that. Bless the Lord God. Amen. Tree, go if you will, because I want to let you help me today. I almost forgot, because on Thursday I do it by myself. Listen to what it says in the 11th verse of chapter 4. Tree, read it, please. Hebrews 4 and 11. I'm going to read 11 and you read 12. Let us therefore labor, therefore. Now, understand, he's writing people that have already made the change from coming from the old covenant, which Hebrews said was ready to vanish away, to becoming part of the new covenant, under new priesthood, under the covenant that God said he was going to write in their heart. So he says in 4 and 1, there remains a rest. Verse 11, he says, let us therefore enter into that rest, lest any man, notice this, fall after the example of unbelief. I've told you when we went through this book, people say you can't fall. I don't care what they say. I don't care when they say you can't fall. The writer of this book here knew that they could fall. Now, you can believe them or you can believe him. Jesus is going to talk. What does it say in 12 verse 3?
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
This is why John was on the Isle of Patmos. For the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now notice how powerful that is. As the rain goes down on the ground and it waters the ground and it brings forth herb, that's right, and it gives the sower bread to eat. God's word does not come back to him void. When God speaks, things take place. Light comes into existence. Men are judged. The weak are made strong. The wicked and the ungodly are condemned to hell if they don't repent. Jesus is raised from the dead and said, all power is in his hand. Didn't he say it? The Bible has told us that he is the living word of God made flesh, John 1 and 14. Didn't it say it? I know it did. Now, you got all of this power. The word of the Lord is quick and powerful. John is on the Isle of Patmos, no doubt banished for this power being mentioned and talked about in the midst of mankind, thinking they're the most powerful, and that all things consist by their word, and that everything has to be evaluated and judged by their prerogatives, and that their presupposition to man is, we give you rights, we give you power, we have constitutions, we have laws, we have people that can carry out the laws, and we will ignore all of this power that's tied up in the word of God. John is on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God, which is quick and powerful. together by him. There's something that's oxymoronic about that. Let me see if I can think of another word. There's something that's incongruent. There's something that doesn't seem to make sense for that. If you're locked up with that power, how is it? And you can be banished for it. How is it? Because this is the way that he allows things to be to accomplish his goal. He is the victorious Lord. He has dominion, and he knows everything that's going on, especially in his church. So the word of God is quick and powerful, and what else?
And sharper than any two-edged sword.
We talked about God's sword being the thing that he used for judgment. As a matter of fact, not only does he use it for judgment, but he uses it for punishment. Adam and Eve, if you try to drag yourself back up in here, yeah, I mean drag. You have taken on the nature of the serpent. You have taken on the nature of a belly crawler. You have taken the nature of one that eats the dust. Instead of being lifted up and glorified like I made you upright, you have taken the nature of a belly crawler. You want to slither yourself back in here? They are flaming swords. To do to you what's necessary. There was a time when you guarded the garden, but you abdicated your responsibility, and you relinquished it to someone else. Sharper than a two-edged sword, what else can it do?
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
And we look at it as able to go in between anything and separate what needs to be separated. The truth from a lie. Light from darkness. What's almost good versus what is good. What is truth for everyone, and even times when there seems like there's a dilemma, the word of God is able to go in there and give you the right judgment. How do we know that? The word of God first spoke when we heard it, making things in the book of Genesis, he says, and God saw the light that it was good. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And when it says he saw that it was good, what did that mean? He had made judgment. Read some more, Dre.
And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
The word of God will go in and discern your thoughts, your righteous deeds, your righteous acts. It will discern whether you're doing them because you love God or because you love the praise of man. It can discern whether you blow the trumpet. I'm getting ready to give so-and-so-and-so a brand new car. Come on down. Or if you're getting ready to give somebody a ride, you're giving your body to be burned. If you give all your goods to feed the poor and the homeless, it discerns whether this is of God. To the book of 1 Corinthians said a person could give their body to be burned. They could bestow all their goods to feed the poor. They could do all these magnificent works, have all knowledge, understand all mystery, and still be wicked. What do you mean still be wicked? When we get deeper into this letter to the Ephesians, we're going to see that they have lost their first love. We think love is making somebody like us. God don't care whether folk like you or not. You shouldn't care whether folk like you or not when you're doing God's will. The wicked are supposed to keep troubling. They are never supposed to be at rest. The wicked are like the troubled sea that cast up dirt and mire. Until they repent, they will not glorify your Father, which is in heaven voluntarily. They may do it because they're in punishment. But he is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's a form of knowing. Be afraid. Be afraid of what we call will worship. Worship for the glory of men instead of the praise of God. What's the next verse?
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight.
Now, I want you to notice this. If you don't understand that the word of God here is dealing with both aspects, the word of God that God speaks as well as the Word of God that is a person. Why is it saying neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight? You could say we're talking about God. But are you going to exclude the Son? Read, you will see.
But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
I will submit to you that if that does not cause you pause, if that does not cause you to become serious about God and his work and your thoughts and your intentions, you've missed the whole part, point. And you probably will not even understand the letter to these seven churches. It says all things are naked and open. What if right now everyone in this room were naked and open? We'd be trying to cover up. Naked and open? God sees through the eyes of him to whom we have to do. And the key point here is this letter is written to the Hebrews. You don't think this letter is written to Hebrew brethren, go read chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and you will see he calls them holy brethren. Read some more, Dre.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is cast into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest, the one to whom we have to do, the one that would instruct, hold fast. With all your might, your profession. What's the next verse?
For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
I want to tell you now, you're not looking at Jesus as being the revelation of God, of dominion and authority, whom he everything and everything is open to him and not realizing what that means. You don't understand what this verse right here is saying. So let me help you. No excuse is acceptable. This is what it means. It means no excuses are acceptable. Say in the case of Eudoxio, well, I got lonely. I couldn't wait on a husband. Say in the case of you, Gary, I got mad at my wife. I decided I was going to not come home for a couple of months. This ain't the case of me, Tim. Well, you know, I could make more money if I don't do what I say I'm going to do and just half do it. This says we don't have a high priest that's clothed about in white with linen and with a girdle around the paps that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted as we are. That's why he said, I'm living and was dead and I'm alive forevermore. I've been there. I've done that. And when we get to the fourth chapter or the fifth chapter of the Revelation, we're going to see a lamb that has been wounded. But he's going to come forth as a lion. And those wounds didn't come for nothing. He has suffered, and we also have John has given this to us, banished on the Isle of Patmos. Understand, you have a victorious Lord being revealed to you that has all power and authority and can see everything, and he's been through everything without sin. What excuses can you give? What is the solution that we should be looking for when we look at these seven letters that's given in the book of the Revelation? Again, 12th chapter of Hebrews. Don't let these things slip your mind. Don't look at Revelation as just in a vacuum. If you do, you've messed up. You missed a part of your whole sweet Bible. 12, 1 and 2, Dream, please read it, Hebrews. This good word of God. I want us to see that this thing is sweet.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Chapter 11, the last about 12 verses, when it goes through and talk about people that suffered and obtained a good witness. Some versions say good report, but these people were faithful. Those were the cloud of witness. Seeing that we have been circled and circled by with a great cloud of witnesses. That's those people. What else does it say?
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us.
Get rid of your excuses. Chapter 12 comes way after chapter 4. There's a whole lot in between. But by the time the writer gets to chapter 11, he's showing you what people have gone through to stand for God's word. There are many warnings in the book of Hebrews that people don't listen to. But if you look at the book of Hebrews, there's the revelation of Jesus showing the similitude of Jesus with everything and showing you how he surpasses it, that they were only typological figures of him. And you get to the revelation that really lays him out like that. This writer is showing you people that have suffered. And he said, just based on that, you ought to lay aside every weight and every sin that moved you from the race that's set for you, that beset you. Then he's going to go past them and take you to, like, the book of the Revelation. What else does it say?
And let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
You got something set before you, and these seven churches have something set before them, and Christ had something set or appointed or an assignment for him. That's what we're talking about. The race or the life that God has and the things that are going to come that's assigned to you. Read it, Dree.
Looking unto Jesus.
It's nice to be able to look at Barak. And Samson, and Jephthah, and Isaiah, and those that were beaten, tormented, destitute, and afflicted. But it never rises up. It never rises up to the Lord of glory that left all the riches of glory and humiliated himself and took on humanity and became the form of a servant. And being made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God's law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's Romans 8 and 40 I'm talking about. I made a combination of Philippians 2 and Romans 8. I went from where he was made in the likeness for sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, because we're looking to him. But I also talking about him being made in the likeness of man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Same writer wrote both. Read some more, Dre.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame.
I'm going to tell you now. Hebrews tell you it wasn't joyful for him to endure the cross. Hebrews 5 said he offered up strong crying and tears to him that was able to save him from death. Yet think I'm lying? Write down Hebrews chapter 5. Read verses 5 through 10. You'll get to taste it. But you'll also see in the 8th verse, because he did that, he became the author of eternal salvation unto one group of people and one group of people only, to those that obey him. And because he is being revealed as the one that sees everything that you do, you are not going to be able to say, well, I got an excuse. Because he's already been tempted. Things we go through. The author and finisher of our faith, what happened? For the joy that was set before him did what?
Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
He rose, and he is now what John is being able to see and tell you about. Now let's go back over here to the Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, and let's taste this. This thing is so good. I think that what we'll do is we're going to taste that. Dree will be reading that, and I'm going to read in the third verse. I'm going to read to where I tell her to read. Revelation 1 and 3, it says, blessed is he that readeth, singular, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep, guard, observe and do those things which are written therein. Obviously, if he's writing seven letters to seven churches, there should be some things for those people that receive this letter. It should be some things that the one that gets it, the angel, that reads it, the messenger, they didn't hear it, the congregation, and those that keep, that obey the word that's written there, and there are some things that's going to be written in for them to do and hear and obey. It is. You can send it up to the 21st century if you want to. You can send it up to the 31st century if you want to. It's for them. And by extension, it's for us. Just like in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when that ungodly, wicked man has the unmitigated nerve to lay up with his father's wife, Paul said, put him out of the assembly. That was for those people at Corinth at that time. But by extension, if we have that mess going on here, we better put that rascal out. And if God could have his way by us getting like we should with the word of God, if someone strike their mother, father, that individual, like God said, that wicked one should be put away from the earth. Somebody say, Tim, that's Old Testament. You must not have read Matthew chapter 15. I'm sure some people don't read that. They don't read it. Jesus still believed that that was valid. All right, listen to verse 4. It says, and keep those things which are written therein, the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. They're getting part of this letter to say grace to you and peace for him, which is and was and which is to come. And he lets you know, and has the seven spirits before the throne. I want you to go to 2:1 and read, Dree.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write.
To the angel of the church of Ephesus, to this particular person, he will be the one to read. The people at Ephesus will be the one to hear. And in order for us to understand who this Ephesus is, before we do it, I'm going to give you an assignment so it can be a collaborative effort. Not just me teaching, me talking, and you hearing. Your assignment will be read Acts chapter 18 through 20. Read Acts chapter 18 through 20 or listen to it. Or even watch the video. You can go to YouTube and watch the book of Acts and watch it. Chapters 18 through 20 is going to talk about Ephesus. Then read the book of Ephesians. Is that too much for you to do before Thursday? We're glad to hear it, because it's going to let you know what that church was like. It's going to let you know where that church was elevated. It's going to let you know what Paul thought about that church. It's going to let you know certain problems that were going on in that church. It's going to also let you have an idea of the depth of the wisdom and the knowledge that was there. For the sake of today, my goal is to show you that not only he's the victorious Lord that's in charge, but he knows everything that's going on, and he can do something about it. Read some more, Dre.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things, says he, that holds the seven stars in his right hand.
I need you to know that the seven stars, they work for me. I need you to know that they are not doing something independent of their own. I hold them in my hand to tell them what to do and how to carry out my instructions. They're not independent. They're in my hand. I am the one that commissions them. I am the one that let them know what to do. So all the glory and all the emphasis should be on me and not them. Did you hear what I just said? That all the emphasis and the glory should be on me and not them. Let me show you what Peter says about that kind of wicked and ungodly and unprofitable type of star that could be in the hand of some, that is supposed to be in the hand of the Lord, but he moves on his own. 1 Peter 5:1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, that glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. That's getting money the wrong way, but with a ready mind, neither being lord over God's heritage. They're not your dogs. They're not your cattle. They're not for you to be fleecing them. Supposed to be a shepherd and not a hireling. Supposed to be a messenger of God and not a messenger of your own greed and your ungodliness and your wickedity, as Stephanie Alford used to call it, wickedity. Now I want you to look at 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, and denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves with destruction. And many shall fall in their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken, and through covetousness and with feigned words they shall make merchandise of you. They'll pass you around like a cheap whore, by a pimp from one of his friends to the next. They'll pass you by his books, by his tapes, by his so-and-so-and-so. Go ahead and give money to this person. And neither one of them telling you the truth. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things. He that holdeth the seven stars in his hand is not about them to treat you as if they're lords over you. They are examples. They're supposed to be examples and helpers. When Peter talked about the shepherd, he said he is an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ, the chief shepherd. I could have kept reading 1 Peter 5. It would have shown you. Examples. Not making merchandise of you. Not giving you false teaching. When they're in my hand, like they're supposed to be, they bring glory to me. Is that clear? I feel it in my soul. What else does it say about him as he say they in his right hand? And in the midst of the golden candlesticks. I'm there. I'm watching. Did you hear me in there? I'm in the midst. He don't rule. There should never be an assembly that lets somebody use their tyrannical powers over you and make you think you're following God. Got another book for you to go by that contradicts the word of God, that adds to the word of God, and takes away from the word of God, and you think he's still being under the control of the one that God has revealed that sees everything. There should never be a time that your government acts as if God is under control and acts as if they can just do everything to you with no kind of consequence. But in the churches in particular, all glory and honor should go to the one that's holding. Read the next verse, verse 2.
I know thy work.
I know your works. I know what you're doing. I'm not just there lollygagging. I'm evaluating. That's a scary thing for God to say he know your works, especially if they are done out of compulsion. When he said to the leader, Peter said, not with constraint, but willingly. I know your works. What else?
And thy labor.
I know what kind of work you do. I know your labor as well. I know how you suffer in your labor. Read on, because you'll see that, and patience go with it.
And thy patience.
In the kingdom of patience. Isn't that what John said? All right. I know what you do. I know your works. I know how you energetically go through and suffer what's coming on you. I know these things. I'm aware. I'm victorious. I'm your Lord. I'm being revealed. Look at how I look now. I'm in the midst. And I'm letting this messenger know this. And you're letting the assembly know this. You're not doing this in the dark. Read some more.
And how thou canst not bear them which are evil.
And I know how you feel about the evil folk. I'm looking. I know. All things are naked and open. Read some more.
And thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars.
I know that you kept a command that was given to you. I'm going to give you one for free. Come with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. This is part of your assignment. But I say, let me just give you just a little taste of what your assignment would be. Got a teacher over there smiling. You like that? Yeah. I give you a little taste of your assignment. Listen to what the Bible says right here in Acts chapter 20. Let's look at, I like the way Paul talks. He talks really good. Read the 18th verse, if you will. Go to 17, since it mentions Ephesus, since that's what we're talking about. Because he said he knows that they have born, and they can't stand the lying prophets. Read.
And from Miletus, you sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church.
Now, he sent to this same place that we're reading about, and he called for the elders of the church. What did he say?
And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia.
The seven churches which are in Asia. Do you see why this is part of your assignment? So that when I say this, it won't be Tim said. Nobody cares what Tim said. They barely do care what Jesus said. But in the words of a man that has turned my stomach, you will be made to care. Read some more. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Now she's in verse 18.
And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons.
So when you read chapters 17, 18 through, you know, when you read through 20, I'm sorry, 18 through 20, you'll see that what he is saying, that he's going to let you know what he has been like to those people in Ephesus. And that's why that's part of your assignment. Read some more.
Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you.
Now, when we're reading here, he says, I know your works, your labor, and patience. This is how they learned to have these works. This is how they learned their patience. This is how they knew how to try those that say they were apostles and not, because Paul kept back nothing that was profitable to them. And when you read the book of Ephesians, you're going to see that they had a great foundation. It should make this thing real to you. So you don't push it off where you know when the Lord comes back in the clouds and in the rapture. Or that, well, it's that the church in Ephesus, that was the first church. You better look at this letter and realize these people have issues just like we do. And these people would talk just like we are. And that Jesus was in the midst of the church then. He's in the midst of the church now. And understand that this is a very important thing for us to see how he dealt with them. Just like we look and see how he dealt with them. Back in the old days, Romans 15 and 4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime. Well, what was written in the New Testament for us is aforetime. But what was written in what we call the Old Testament for the New Testament people was aforetime. It was written for our learning. It was written for their learning. In the book of Romans, it's written for our learning too. That we through patience, endurance, and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ is letting you know I know everything. He don't know what it's like to be lied on. He don't know what it's like to lose his son. He don't know what it's like to have him asked to declare on you. He doesn't know what it's like to get fired off a job. He knows what it's like to be crucified. He knows what it's like to be spit on and lied on and have never done wrong. He knows what it's like to fight Satan and defeat him. Shut your mouth and get in the word. Read some more, Dree.
And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house.
Now some people say if you don't have this big assembly, this big old building, you can't be doing God's word. One dude came out here, they call him Elder Archie Watkins. He's an elder because he's old, but he's an archie. Why can make fun because people have assembly or we have worship inside of the house? He's a damnable fool. You be making fun of Paul, Jesus went to Lazarus' house and talked. John did that. He went to multiple houses. He sent the disciples out, and you go to house, and you eat what they give, and you don't go from house to house. And if they don't receive, you shake the dust off your feet, and those that do let your peace deal. I know what the Bible says. I don't care what he says, except to condemn it when it's wrong and help him to repent if he needs, if he wants to. Stay with me. Under the word of God, it's nice to have a great big assembly. You put people in debt. When God opens the door, it's open. But before then, you preach the word of God. I guess John didn't even have a church, John the Baptist. And Jesus said it wasn't a greater prophet among men that were born of women. He was in the wilderness. This, Dries, don't get me get off of that. Let's go back to the word of God. Go back to verse 21.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me.
The same Jesus that holds the seven stars, he also has the seven spirits of God, and rest fully assured. When you learn the word of God, you'll see when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit coming to comfort, he won't testify of himself. He won't be doing anything to bring glory to himself. You'll testify of me. Now, if the Holy Spirit, I just want you to just think this logically. If the Holy Spirit of God, who is hovering over the face of the water, if he is going to testify of Jesus, and he is not going to be bringing glory to himself, what good is a man bringing glory to his dust and ashes, according to the last verse of Isaiah chapter 2, whose breath is in his nostrils? I just want you to just see it. The Holy Spirit is witnessing every city, knowing what's going on, that bonds, that means being chained or shackled up, and affliction, maybe getting my tail whipped, my back whipped, my head whipped. They abide me. They're just going to be dwelling with me. I can't get away from it. Read 24, because it's real pretty. Naomi, you ought to like this one. Read it.
But none of these things move me.
It don't stop me.
Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
And what, in other words, the race that is set before me, I want to accomplish it. And if you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, you'll see him saying that I fought for this fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course, and his course is laid up for me, a crown of righteousness. The Lord said, give me it that day, but not only to me, but all them also that believe in his appearing. Read some more, Dree.
And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
I have not shunned. Why do you think that we go through verse through verse, verse by verse? It's easy to teach a topical lesson. And for some people, they say it's easy to do what I do. They go by, you know, you don't have to figure out what you're going to say, but rest fully assured. If you're going through the word of God verse by verse, don't make it boring trying to sound like Howard Cosell. And the word of the Lord says this. And the word, I grew up hearing a man sound like that. It irritated me to death. Sound like Howard Cosell doing something with Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. The word of God is pretty. You don't feel it? You don't have passion? It don't excite you? Then what's wrong with you? I used to know an ignorant guy. You know, black people, we have a little ignorant saying sometimes. And sometimes they're funny because they make a good picture. I remember this guy say, what's the matter for you? I watched the people can be swimming on their lips. And he's doing oh my God, he's me. He's looking at me on the beach. Or they'll be doing car races. And he's, oh, here comes Jeff Gordon. Oh, my God, Jeff Gordon. they be playing basketball. LeBron James! LeBron James! Oh! Baseball! It's going! It's going! It's going! It's out of here! A three-roll! Have you heard of those kind of things where they get excited, lose their throat? What about this? When I used to watch Georgia football, he's at the 5, he's at the 10, he's at the 10, he's at the 20. Herschel is going, Herschel Walker, that old Mariner gun, the sky is dropping, and you can't see all that kind of stuff. Kirby Smart said, the new coach of Georgia, I want all you all to come out here to this stadium. It wasn't even a game, a game against an opponent, and they filled up Sanford Stadium. I don't know how many seats. I think it's 80,000 or is it over 100, Pop? It's a lot of them. Get to his word. And don't tell me that any of us have never enjoyed football, baseball, or car racing, because I know somebody in the back, I can say wrestling at least. But they get, but when he comes to the word of God, it's so subdued. You almost want to go, yes, I grew up watching people sleep when the word of God was given out in a boring way. I mean, it's one thing to be tired, but it's another one when somebody actually is killing the word of God with their mouth. Quite irritating. Read some more, Dre. Go ahead and get your laugh out, because I just can't believe. I've heard people read. I know one man in particular. His name is Max McLean. If you ever go to Google and type in Max McLean reading any passage in the Bible, it comes alive. He's on YouTube too, don't tell you. Am I telling the truth? I'm like, golly, all he's doing is reading it. With that theatrical training, it comes alive. Read some more, Dree.
Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them.
This is why they tried those that say they were apostles. They were given that mandate. It wasn't the fact that, this is just, this is a church that's going to be way out in the future. They were given the mandate. Read some more, Dre. It's just so good.
Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
That ought to let you know at least something about what this letter, that these people have been involved with God's work for so long that they had had Paul there 3 years. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul preaching to you 3 years? What it would be like? What it would feel like? Well, I know some people wouldn't like it anymore in this country today, but that's what I wanted you all to see. Now, let's go back to Revelation 2 so that we can stay right on line with the time. I want to be through with this. Go ahead.
Yeah, verse
4. Yes.
Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent.
Now, all I want you to do in that particular part is just see he knows what's going on. That's the emphasis. We're going to be dealing with what he's telling them to do and what the warnings are. Right now, I want you to realize you know their words, you know their labor, you know their patience, and everything that they've done, and then they have not fainted, okay? That's what he knows. We are dealing with the resurrected Lord. We're dealing with the one that knows everything about everything. And the word of God says he sees and knows everything that these people have done. Dre, if you will, go to 2 and 8, please. Read chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 8.
And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and
I know your works. Out of all of the seven churches, seven different angels, the letters are supposed to go around and each one of them to read it. But I want you to see, he said to this one, I know. Read it again, Drew, so they can get it.
I know thy works and tribulation and poverty.
I know that you have worked. I know that you are going through tribulation, just like John is, just like I did. And I know your poverty. I know you don't have what you would want to have. I know you're not having everything in the prosperity message. I know that there are things that you want. I know it. I know it. And I'm victorious. That ought to mean something. I know it. I'm victorious. All power is in my hand. It's not happening without me knowing it. If it's happening and I know it, there's a reason. Do you trust him? He's victorious. He's Lord. That's the point being made there. Read it again, Dre, please.
I know thy worth and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich.
I want you to just get that little part in your pipe and smoke it. To everybody else, you look poor. You look dirt poor. You look like what they would call poor white trash. Or you look like a ghetto rat. Or you might look like somebody sent for and couldn't come for. You might look like a horse that's been ridden all day and put up wet without being wiped down. You look like you got nothing, but God said, and Jesus said, I know you are rich. I know you are rich. Why? Because you've gotten the things that give the true abundance. A man's life, according to Luke chapter 12, does not consist of the things or the abundance that he has. But I've come that they might have life, John 10, and that they might have it more abundantly. I became poor so they could obtain my riches. You have my riches, and I know it. I know when you are rich, even when you're poor. Does that make you happy? Read some more, Dre.
And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not.
And I know the hypocrites. Everybody else might believe that they're the ones. They might believe it when you say, watch this, that one over their head. They might like this when somebody teach a message. They might like somebody saying that they're special in God. But I know that they are not. This is how he talks. He said, I know. Blasphemy of them to say they are Jews and are not. What's implied in that, I know that they are not. But I also know they are the synagogue of hell or the synagogue of the accuser. Okay? Let's move down. Did you all like how he talked? He talked really pretty. Go to 2 and 12, please.
And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write.
See, now, this is a different way than other people go through the book of the Revelation. I just want us to see all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we have to do. And I think it's very good that we see it. Read it again, Dre.
And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he, which has the sharp sword with two edges.
Okay, so we just got through dealing with him. This is the one that's the first and last. Godlike. Mm-hmm. He is God, but Godlike. I need you to understand that. Well, he talks to those, and we'll deal with that a little more. But here he identifies himself like with the image that John saw, a sharp sword that was coming out of his mouth with two edges. And what does he know in verse 13?
I know thy work.
I know what you do. You don't have to tell me. I know. Read on.
And where thou dwellest.
I know where you dwell. What else?
Even where Satan's seat is.
You don't ever think that I don't know. Please read.
And thou holdest fast my name.
I know that you hold my... You look. I know that you know all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him to whom you have to do. And because of that, you hold fast your profession. I know this. Why is this? Because I'm watching and I'm evaluating. Read on.
And has not denied my faith.
I know. See, nobody else might not know these things, Pop. Nobody else might know these good things that you do, Jay. But he knows. That's when it's good. I know. Read.
Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells.
Do you notice this? I know one of y'all died. Don't think I don't know, because I might not have acted the way you wanted me to or when you wanted me to. I know. Do you like that, Naomi, that you know? If you don't like it, it's still righteous. Verse 23, please read some more. Go to 18. I skipped 18. I shouldn't have skipped 18.
And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass.
Now we got him talking about him with the eyes like a flame of fire. Feet like, going back, see, when we go through these chapters and deal with each church in particular, can you see we're still going back to chapter 1? But right now, I want to talk about him knowing. Please read it again, Dree. No, never mind. Just go to 19. 19 is good enough.
I know thy work.
I want us to understand. Can you make me believe that that letter wasn't to those people in particular? Is there any way you cannot understand that's to those people in particular? Is there any way that you can feel he don't know our words? All things are
naked and open.
Okay, look at it. I know your works. What else?
And charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy words and the last to be more than the first.
I know these things. Even if you come to me and tell me, I already know. And the beautiful thing about that is this is who we're going to deal with. This is who we're dealing with in judgment. And by knowing that this is what we're going to deal with or who we're going to deal with in judgment, it ought to let you know it's going to be fair or else he's being merciful. Should he allow us to stay in his assembly? Because he knows. 3:1, chapter 3, verse 1.
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars.
Now that's quite amazing. He would say, like, if he has the seven stars, he's in control over them. What about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one on his behalf. He said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter. He will abide with you. So when we're dealing with that, they're both on his behalf. And what does he say about the one? What does he say in the next verse?
These things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead.
Wait a minute. I know that you look like you're full of the Spirit. Somebody say it didn't say you is they full of the Spirit. Well, where the Spirit of God is, that's where you get life. Spirit animates a corpse. The Spirit animated the dust. I know what you do. I know that you have a name, that you live. People really believe in you. You have a reputation. You have fame that you live. And people look at you and they feel like you got it going on. But to me, you're dead, dead, dead. You're like the walking dead. Or as I'm concerned. And guess what? How did you get to be that way? Romans 8:13 tells you if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Didn't it say it? Read some more, Tree.
Be watchful.
I don't want to go there. That's too far. I just want to deal with his knowledge of things. Go to 3:7. You were right and I was wrong, Tree.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts.
All of that key. When I told you all about Eliakim, opening and shutting, he that has all of that, the key, the one that gives access, the one that has access to hell, has access to from hell. The one that has access to death and from death. What does he say in verse 8?
I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name.
I know your works. I set an open door for you. I know you just have a little strength. Kept my word. And you have not denied my name. When you stay inside of the word of God, you will know that Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me and my words before this wicked and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you. But you also will know that those that confess his name, he will confess you before the Father. You may not be as strong or as deep as you want to be. He's going to have a remedy for that. But he knows. He knows. When I was younger, there used to be a song we used to sing, and it said, my Jesus knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I need. Well, sometimes you might need a whipping too. Sometimes you might need chastisement. Sometimes you may need some healing. Sometimes you may need a little extra money. He knows. Let's take the last one, 14th verse of the 3rd chapter, please read. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write.
These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness.
Isn't that how he was described in 1 and 5? Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead, please read.
The beginning of the creation of God.
Yes.
I know thy word, that thou art neither hot, cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
I want you to understand. Notice this. This is, to me, this is quite profound. I know your works aren't worth anything. I know your works. They're not cold. They're not hot. What about our works? Because they're not, I will spew you out of my mouth. What else do they say in verse 17?
Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods.
So what he is saying is, I know that you think you're rich. I know that the other church, they are poor, but they are rich. I know that you are rich, but you ain't. Not. I meant to say ain't. You're not. You got the goods. You got the prosperity. You got the stuff. Listen, read 17 again and let him say it. Verse 17.
Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
This is the Lord that we have to deal with. All things are naked and open. And so to each of these churches, when you see him walking in the midst of the candlestick, if you never knew or never thought about, why did he tell John to write what he sees as well as what he hears? It's because what he sees is part of the message. It's sent and signified. So by me just going through and just taking the top part of the salutation, I know, and I make an assessment. As we go into these letters, think about this assembly seeking truth. Think about our own individual lives. How we deal with people. How we deal with children. Do we correct them as we should? Do we get tired and let them get away with things? Do we let things slide on the job? Do we not stand for God's word? Do we do good things and have the wrong motive? I just don't do this because I don't want no one to see me. Says I know, especially when you get in front of the computer, get on a chat line talking to somebody. I know all things are naked and open. But the one that knows everything is victorious. He He is Lord. All of those angels or those messengers were to know that they were to bring glory to him. The Holy Spirit brings glory to him. And he's letting these churches know what they need to do to bring glory to him. I know. So whatever state we're in, whether we're doing well, no, comfort. If we're not doing what we should, he knows. It should cause us to want to hold fast our profession. It should cause fear to come in your heart when you realize his eyes are like a flame of fire. When the sword is in his hand, it's actually coming out of his mouth in the scripture. I'm saying hand like power. His feet are like breasts. And if you read it one way, it talks about his feet like breasts. He's talking about death. I'm submitting to you. And when you read this book of the Revelation, this was given to people in the midst of a trial. And he was letting them know, I know what you're going through, but you still have nothing on me. I endure the cross. I despise the shame. There's a whole cloud of witnesses that have gone on before you. Are you really willing to act as if you've seen the revealed Lord Jesus Christ? The one that John is portraying to you in these scriptures. If you are, it should be reflected in our lives. It should be reflected in our lives. He'll go through and he'll teach them what to do, how to do, and deal with the specificity of what's going on in their lives. But right now, just realize this: these letters are to let them know, I'm not just in the midst to give you something. Ooh, he's in the midst of the seven candlesticks. He's got seven stars in his hand. No. I know. All power's in my hand, and I know. That was a movie saying, I know what you did last summer. I know what you do every day. I'm evaluating. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for letting us know that you do know. Help us to be the kind of people that not only know that you know what you know about us and what's going on in our world, but that you are still in control and that you have dominion. And as we will see throughout this book, there are times you'll deliver and there are sometimes you'll allow us to go through the sufferings. Because they really want to attack you. We ask you to help us be part of the solution, not of the problem. Let us not come before you with excuses. Statements such as, Lord, Lord, in the day of judgment, we prophesied in your name. In your name cast out devils and done many wonderful works, as if we don't know that you know how we live. Help us, I pray, to be faithful to you in this wicked and perverse world. Amen. Amen. And even so. Amen. Amen.